Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Yes, sir. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. Shout out to David making this thing happen. We got Chris Sanders coming on. We're going to do double duty, a run TMC again. I want to get Chris's take on Treylon Burks and also just some of the expectations he has for various parts of this Tennessee Titans team. David, it is day one of training camp is in the books. And, man, it's exciting to see this team back out there.
So excited. I'm from what I've seen, it looked pretty good today. I mean, with Treylon Burks and, you know, everyone else, and just it was good to get a good glance of what we could see potentially, you know, with Treylon Burks. You know, it was good to see him actually go out there and practice a little bit, you know, slow start off of at the OTAs. But to see him now at training camp looking pretty good so far, I mean, from what I've seen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's where I'm going to focus in this opening segment of Talking with TD, the training camp edition. I mean, I smile as I say that because training camp is here. But, yeah, I'm going to focus on Burks. And I think first things first, just the fact that he was out there was a really good accomplishment for the Titans. And it kind of say that tongue in cheek because a lot of people would be like, well, you know, he's a first round pick. That's what you expect. And that's true. But at the same time, the thing you have to look at is just the fact that there was a point in which he was not able to be on the field because of conditioning and asthma. And he was able to turn that around and have a really good start of training camp. And he made it through the practice with no issues. In fact, I felt as if he looked strong starting from individual period, watched him do some of the different things that the wide receiver coach, Rob Moore, and his assistant, Eric Frazier, had them do. As far as they call it a slalom, where you jump with each foot and you stop and then you jump to the other one. And it's just kind of like, it's almost like striders, but it's a slower version of it. And you're literally jumping and planting and pushing off of that foot that you land on. Then you watch the other things that he was able to do as far as having the ball tucked on the bungee cord and running and doing that. That was something when he first got to the Titans in that rookie minicamp practice, he wasn't able to like that. He struggled a bit with that. To see him go there and then to transfer it over to 7-on-7, because they worked through 1-on-1s. They didn't do that. They went right from individual to install and then 7-on-7. And the second rep of practice was Treylon Burks catching the deep pass against Christian Fulton. Ooh. And I just think it was pretty cool just seeing Ryan Tannehill have that trust in him initially. I'm going to give this rookie a shot to make a play. And Burks came through and Tannehill put it out there and he was able to pull away a little bit. He dove, and the way that he was able to grab the ball and secure it through the contact with the ground was really good. And that's a good sign. And then you also look at the timing that he was able to have with Burks on a back shoulder throw a little bit later in practice. This was still in 7-on-7. Tannehill threw that ball completely before Burks made his break. And, you know, I'm looking, and because it was right in front of me, it was on that sideline where we stand, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh, I wonder if he's going to get his head around. And you saw him yank that inside elbow, whip his head around, and he made the catch, and it was on Caleb Farley. And that was a pretty good back shoulder. A little bit later in practice, he was covered by Roger McCreary. Logan Woodside moved within the pocket, and he was able to uncover himself, work to the middle of the field, and square up and give Woodside a nice big target. And then Woodside delivered to him, and he caught it. And it was another opportunity where he caught the football and he turned up field. So it was another opportunity to see him do some of the things that he did at Arkansas. And getting back to the connections with Tannehill, that's something that they worked to establish from a mental, a classroom standpoint, because Burks wasn't able to be on the field. They did a lot of conversating and pointing things out. Hey, you know, in this type of situation, I want you to be here. In this type of situation, you got to break your route this way. That's something that Tannehill has done an excellent job with all of the receivers that he's worked with since he came to the Titans, since he became the starter, that is. And you want to continue to see that. But then once it transfers onto the field, that's a really good thing. And we know Ryan Tannehill is a big confidence type of quarterback. Plays like that, that's the type of thing that will allow him to have confidence in Burks. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's something I asked Tannehill about. And then also just the accountability that Burks showed. Let's go ahead to that and see what he had to say in response to that question.
Yeah, it's nice to have Traylon out there. You know, we've been back a few days before you guys got here, had the rookies and some of the vets QBs back a couple of days. So we got some reps over the past few days, and, you know, excited to have him out there. You know, he's got a long way to go, but, you know, making plays like that does a lot for building confidence for a quarterback, for myself, and just knowing what you're going to get over there. You know, if he wins consistently and makes plays like that for me down the field, you know, it gives you a lot of confidence to go his direction.
He admitted to not attacking things the way he may have, should have. Initially, what's that say about his accountability? You know, for you as one of the leaders of the team, to see him take himself accountable like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Accountability is huge, especially in this program. You know, it starts from the top and trickles its way down. So having that awareness of just knowing when it's not perfect, when you did miss an opportunity, being able to recognize that and try to rectify it as you move forward is huge. So I'm proud of him and the way he's come out, you know, this fall and off to a good start.
So that was Ryan Tannehill talking about the confidence. And again, that's a big thing. And so when you are able to build that confidence in practice, it transfers over to games. And I think when you look at getting on the same page, there's no better way to do that than the reps. But you also have to remember, there was a point where Traylon Burks was a guy who, you know, people were concerned about him not being able to make it through a full practice. And he said it himself that he, you know, he wasn't able to go. But what I really like about him is the self-awareness. He said, you know what? This is something that isn't starting right. I have to do what I have to do to turn it around. And that's what he did. Mike Vrabel did a really good job. And the coaches, just period, the staff overall did a really good job of supporting him through the tough start, not abandoning him or you know, speaking badly about him or anything like that. Because, I mean, you have coaches that will say, hey, you know what? It's not going well. He's got to get it together. Not once did they say that. They just said, you know, we're going to take it day by day. And as he continues to progress, we'll get him out there. And that was the approach. They kept him behind with the rookies. He worked on conditioning. He worked on some of the things that he needed to do. In fact, he lost 6 pounds. Let's hear what Burks said just about getting on the right track, admitting that things weren't really off to the best start.
You know, getting my conditioning right, you know, making sure I'm taking care of my body, eating healthier, working out, and I'm just really staying on top of my playbook and, you know, just knowing my role.
So if you notice, he said making sure that he put himself in situations where the asthma could flare up. That's what he did during his training. So this way you kind of prepare yourself for if that happens in practice. And we know the weather out there is hot. Being out there and doing the things that he's being asked to do is going to put a strain on the body. So for him to kind of get his body used to going through that, that's what you're supposed to do. That's the right approach. That's taking accountability and getting yourself ready for something that's in front of you. And he said he's not looking to just come here and make money. He wants to win championships, and that's what he wants to prove to his teammates. So those are some positive signs there. I think, you know, Burks, it's still something that, you know, you have to be aware of, right? The conditioning stuff. But again, this is something that he had dealt with at Arkansas. In fact, Sam Pittman said that, you know, there was a rough start, and he joked that he's not sure how much of a good shape he could be in hunting hogs. And he said, hey, you know, let's get back to focusing on, you know, getting ready for football. And that's what happened at Arkansas. And once he got comfortable and acclimated, you saw the results his junior year. So I think that's something that, you know, Titans fans could kind of hang their hat on. It's not over. It's not something to be overly concerned about, but it's not something that this good start isn't something to be too high about either. That's one of the things you have to understand at this time. You don't get too high, you don't get too low. You just look at things for what they are. And you have to understand that there is time, right, to get things back on track. And that's exactly what happened with Burks. He got back on track and he had a good start, and we'll see how that continues to happen. But it wasn't Burks that was the only one that was on the football field, right? You had guys, and Nick Westbrook and Kenny, he made a really good play to start off 7-on-7, and he's someone that they're looking to step up. And he had a nice deep catch against Christian Fulton as well. The first two throws, deep passes, were on Fulton. And Tannehill said that Todd Downing and Tim Kelly, you know, he talked to them, and they wanted to really stress the defense vertically. So that's what they did. I really enjoyed being out there, right, and watching some of these things take place. We're going to continue to see how this whole thing works. And, oh, by the way, some guy named Derrick Henry was out there too. So that's something we're going to keep
just some guy.
There were some stretch plays and different things like that where he, you know, showed a little bit of burst. And Julius Chestnut had a nice run on Wednesday, showed a little footwork, but he did get the ball punched out. You got to hold on to the football. You can't fumble because that negates everything you did well up to that point. But there were some things to look at. You know, we'll continue to watch Malik Willis and everything there. But I wanted to really focus on Treylon Burks opening up. And we'll actually continue that Treylon Burks conversation. We're going to bring in Chris Sanders after we take this break, pay these bills. Run TMC is coming up.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Drink, please.
Yep. You don't know about that.
Yes, sir. Now, the music fades.
Yes, sir.
Oh, those lights are dimming. You know what time it is. Here it comes, that music. And now, starting at shooting guard, not playing six man tonight due to injury, number 15 for your Detroit Pistons, Vinny Johnson.
Now, starting for your Denver Nuggets, Alex English.
Amazing.
Man, what is going on, TD? Man, football's around the corner. Actually, it started already. Dude, I am so stinking pumped.
That's right. Training camp is underway, man. And speaking of that, I figured this would be a good time to get some of your expectations. It's funny how things work. You know, just a couple weeks ago, it was Cancel Christmas about Treylon Burks. If you look at a lot of tapes and what things that people say, we all along were saying, hey, look, you know, there might be conditioning issues. There might be some asthma stuff. But guess what? There's time to get it worked out. And you had said that it was really important that he kind of hit the ground running. And
absolutely,
the first day of camp was really going to tell you where he is. And lo and behold, the guy was making plays. He had a diving catch against in 7-on-7 period. Christian Fulton was in coverage. He was able to get behind him and make the catch. Really good hands securing it through the contact with the ground. And he had a back shoulder. And then later on, he was able to work himself open and make another catch on Logan Woodside. So I guess let's start with Treylon Burks and just your expectations. What do you expect to see from him during training camp?
You know, we always talk about what defines a man. And I think sometimes what defines a man is overcoming adversity. You know, when he first came in, everybody was talking about you know, he was out of shape and he couldn't finish practice, all those things. And sometimes you need that to push you, you know, to greatness. I mean, I'm going to give you a perfect example, then I'm going to talk about Treylon Burks in a second. But look at the situation with Derrick Henry. When Derrick Henry came into the league, everybody was talking about, you know, how he was running side to side and he wasn't playing physical and how big he is. Then all of a sudden, Eddie George sits him down and talks to him and says, listen, you got to play with the mentality that you can't been tackled. A year later, all of a sudden, he gets 2,000 yards. Now you got the situation with Treylon Burks, how everybody was talking about he was out of shape and, you know, he's not doing this and he's not doing that. I just think that that created an edge in him to be like, you know what, I'm coming here and I'm going to play. I'm going to come in. I'm going to start. I'm going to make plays. And even though I messed up in the OTAs, he even admitted to that, in his press conference that he did come out of shape. But as a professional, he figured out what he did wrong. He fixed it, and he came into camp, and he is flat out balling.
That is an excellent point. That right there is an excellent point because – and I asked Ryan Tannehill about the accountability and just him saying that he admitted he didn't approach things correctly. And Tannehill has said that, you know, having the awareness to understand that there was a missed opportunity, but then doing the things that he needed to do to rectify that, that's big. So I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm glad you pointed it out. Now, he said he lost about 6 pounds. Now, you've been in the league. You know how it works. You know, sometimes a guy have a, you know, look like Tarzan, play like Jane, right? Then other times you'll have guys who, you know, don't exactly have the best physique, but they're just ballers. Yeah. Marshall Faulk is a good example.
Absolutely.
So when you look at Burks and just his build and everything like that, how much do you put in that?
You know, I mean, you don't put a lot of stuff in it. It all comes down to making plays. I mean, understand that he said to himself that, you know, he lost 6 pounds, which is great. He can play faster. He can play, you know, quicker than what he usually is. But at the end of the day, it boils down to if you're making plays. I mean, everybody's built different. I'm a tall guy. I'm more cut. You know, with Treylon Burks, he's more just a big, stocky guy, and everybody's different. I mean, if you look at Megatron was kind of cut, but he was just a ginormous dude. But at the end of the day, it goes down to if you're going to make plays, can you be clutch, you know, and catching the rock? And I think that's what it's going to boil down to. I know we always look at, you know, football players and their physique and being great, but I don't put a lot of stock in that. But at the end of the day, if you can make plays and your quarterback can count on you, I think you can definitely be successful.
How much do you think those plays that he made, right? Like I said, the back shoulder, the timing, right? Because the ball was clearly thrown before he made his break, and it was right on the sideline where we were standing. And I was like, well, he may not get around, but he got around and he was able to make the catch. It was on Caleb Farley too.
Absolutely.
But how much confidence do you think that builds as far as for Burks and then also for Tannehill to keep going his way?
Yeah, but see, I gotta take my hat off to Todd Downing, because Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator, he understands what Treylon Burks brings. If you look at when he was at Arkansas, look at the plays that he made, the back shoulder plays that you were talking about, throwing the ball where only he can catch the ball, making those diving catches. That's exactly what Treylon Burks did. So if I'm an offensive coordinator like Todd Downing, I'm going to throw the passes that he's familiar with. And when Treylon Burks is familiar with those plays, the back shoulders, the high catches, he's going to feel confidence in that. And then also, now you have a quarterback that says, okay, you know what? I know what Treylon Burks likes. I know he likes the ball high. I know he likes it in that spot. So when you have those two guys on the same page, it's a recipe for success, Doc.
No doubt about it. And then even just as a player, like you've been in a situation where you went out and you made plays. How did that help your confidence? Especially as
it helped it out a lot. Oh, it helped out a lot, TD. That's a great question, because when I came in as a rookie, I came in as a third rounder. I didn't come in as a first rounder. So, you know, when I have my quarterback, you know, in preseason and then getting into the game and he's consistently looking at me for the first read, it builds that confidence to know, man, I can come in here and I can make plays. I can come in and show the quarterback that he can depend on me and being in the right spot. So, yeah, it does have to be with confidence, because when you play with a lot of confidence, you play fast and you can make some plays. Guaranteed, baby.
And when you look at just the stuff that they did when Burks wasn't able to be on the field, right? So you got the classroom work, you got the being there for install, sharing things with Ryan Tannehill. how encouraging is it to see? Because again, the timing on that back shoulder.
Yep.
When you see that stuff transfer over, how encouraging is that for you?
I mean, it's very encouraging because, you know, if you look at some of the great tandems in the league that's been in the league, you know, of all times, look at Peyton Manning and Harrison. The reason why they were so successful is because they communicated in film. They communicated, you know, when special teams is going. They say, okay, if you run this type of route, you know, I want you to do this sudden to position your body. So when you're in constant communication with your quarterback and the receiver and the quarterback consistently talk about it, then now you put it into practice. I'm telling you something, man. You know, just looking at the first day of practice and, you know, Tannehill having faith in Treylon Burks and Treylon Burks having faith in Tannehill, don't be surprised if this is one of the best tandems in the league.
One of the best tandems in the league.
Well, no. I said one of them, not the one of them.
I know. And that's what I said, one of the best. So you really feel that there's a lot of promise here. This is something that could rival the A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill connection?
Yeah, but you know the reason why? And the reason why I think this can be a great connection, because both of them are playing with an edge. I mean, if you look at Tannehill, and I know this is kind of off the cuff a little bit about football, but it still pertains to football. Look at Tannehill. When Tannehill, last year, he struggled in the last game against the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, he threw three interceptions, and everybody's saying he couldn't lead his team to a championship. Then now you have Treylon Burks, to where they're talking about he's out of shape and he doesn't want to work hard, he's lazy. You got two guys that's playing with a chip on his shoulder, so now they're going to do everything in their power to make this team successful. That's why I said they're going to be one of the best tandems.
That's a really good point. And, man, we spent this segment on Treylon Burks, so we'll finish it on him just to continue, and then we'll get to your other expectations in the next segment. But just to kind of keep this thing going, how do you see them using him? I mean, is he a guy that you see more lining up on the line of scrimmage at X, Z, you know, work in the middle of the field, in the slot? Do you see him doing all of those things, or what do you see?
I see him playing on the perimeter, playing like an X, you know, on the ball. And the reason why I say this is because he's a big target. And I'm not saying he doesn't run good routes. I just think that his specialty is outside of the perimeter. Because if you look at when he plays in the slot, and if you look at when he was in Arkansas, he didn't run a lot of choice routes. He didn't run a lot of things that a slot receiver does. So you want to put him in a familiar situation. How was he in Arkansas? They put him on the perimeter. He made the back shoulder catches. He did the things that made him successful. So now I feel with Todd Downing, he needs to take what they did at Arkansas, put it in this offense. He feels comfortable. He plays with confidence. Then now nobody's going to miss A.J. Brown.
Nobody's going to miss A.J. Brown. I'm going to miss him. I ain't going to lie.
I'm going to miss him too.
Yeah. But no, on the real though, looking at projections for him, and this is still early, right? This is very
right,
early.
Right.
But do you have any particular projections for him stat-wise?
I say, just to be on the safe side, I say if he catches between 50 and 60 balls for 890 yards, I think that's a win-win situation. I mean, I think he's capable. Go ahead.
No, I could agree to that. I could agree. How about touchdowns?
Yeah. I say between 6 and 10. I think he has the capability to do that because here's the deal. They're not just going to use him, you know, just catching the long ball. He could be a danger in the red zone. I mean, you're talking about a slant because using his big body. Then also you have a fade, you know, making the big catches over a small cornerback. So they're going to use him in a lot of ways because he's got a big body. His frame is ginormous, so he can jump over those small corners to make plays. So I'm saying between 6 and 10 touchdowns.
I like it. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll come back in a moment and continue this because there is a lot other things going on, so we'll need to talk about those as well. We'll be right back.
This is David Long when I'm talking with TD.
You don't trust me, huh? Well, you know why. I do. We're not supposed to trust anyone in our profession anyway.
Not inside the box all the time. No more mother repping.
Back from the break, talking with TD. We're going to keep this thing going, run TMC. We got Chris Sanders on, and we just got done going through Treylon Burks and his first day of training camp, how impressive it was, some of the expectations. And I think it is safe to say that he could have a big input on this offense. He is a guy they're going to rely upon to add a level of explosiveness. You see him making plays down the field. You see his yards after the catch ability. So they'll try to take advantage of that. But Todd Downing is going to have other weapons to go to.
And absolutely.
I guess we'll flip it to the other receiver position. And he didn't make any plays today. But for me, just seeing him out there.
Absolutely.
Or a brace on his knee. That impressed me. So when you see that, what do you make of Robert Woods just being out there after tearing his ACL in November?
You know, it means a lot because, you know, everybody's talking about that he might be ready for the Giants game. But, you know, I think he's ahead of schedule. When you have that, it's just a good comfort level for Tannehill because Tannehill, to be successful, he has to have some weapons around him. Yeah, we talked about Treylon Burks, but now you got Woods is coming. I don't even think he had on the knee brace today. I'm not really sure. I couldn't really see.
No, he didn't.
But that's a plus right there. And I think that when he has confidence of playing with that leg and, you know, doing all the things that he's capable of doing and playing the high level that he played with the LA Rams, I mean, this can be another added weapon for Tannehill. So it's a plus. It makes Tannehill feel comfortable. It makes Todd Downing feel comfortable. It makes Vrabel feel comfortable. And when those guys feel comfortable with him in the lineup, I'm telling you, man, this could be something really, really good.
Yeah, it really can. And you look at the reliability. You know, his catch rate is really high. He's a guy that gets a lot of targets. How do you think that whole process should come along? Like, I know you never had an ACL, right?
No.
Right, okay. I didn't think so, but I just wanted to make sure. But how do you think, like, as you look at Burks, I mean, you've dealt with injuries, and you know guys who have dealt with the ACL. How do you think his approach, like, how should he approach training camp? You know, especially in a situation where, like, you're in a group of new guys, you want to show them that you could play, but at the same time, you don't want to come back too soon.
I think the big person that's huge in this process is Rob Moore. I mean, the reason why I say Rob Moore is because Rob Moore has got to understand. I know he understands that he's got to take care of his receiver, even when the receiver doesn't want to take care of himself. And let me explain why. As a wide receiver, we can be nicked up. We can have a broken ankle. We can have a broken arm. We're going to figure out a way to get on the field because we're wired like that. We're wired about playing. We're wired on how to deal with pain. And I think with Rob Moore, he's got to sit back and look, okay, you know what? We have a long season ahead of us. You got hurt the 10th game of the year in November. So we got to be smart and have Rob Woods understand that this is a process. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And when I say a marathon, then we need you during the season. We can't have you get hurt in camp. We got to make sure you're correctly right. So I think that if Rob Moore, you know, does that and protects Woods, I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, and I think Rob Moore will protect him because that's exactly what he did with Treylon Burks. I mean, you look, he was the one who revealed that Burks has asthma. Otherwise, you know, we would have just focused on the conditioning stuff, which needed to be a part of the focus. Let's not get it twisted. But, you know, the asthma was a big thing. So with Robert Woods, though, one healthy, what does he bring to the table?
Oh, man, a route runner. I mean, you talk a guy that explosive, runs routes, understands how to get open. He just brings that another element to this wide receiver corps because everybody was talking about last year, you know, what do the Tennessee Titans have after A.J. Brown? It was, you know, everybody talked about Westbrook, Akina, everybody talked about him. But after that, who was there? But then now if you look at the Tennessee Titans receiver room, there's different guys. Now you got Treylon Burks, you got Woods, you got Dez Fitzpatrick, you got all these guys. And I just think it's a plus by having these kind of quality receivers. And I mean, it's really, really good to see Woods out there because, you know, even me, when you're coming off an injury, I didn't think he was going to be ready this fast because I watched Kevin Dyson when he hurt his knee. It took him a long time to actually get the run routes and feel comfortable by getting off the press and doing all the things that he needed to be as a wide receiver. But once he gets that confidence back, I just think that, man, he's just going to help this team go to heights that it's never really been before.
Yeah, that confidence is key. Let's move it to the offensive line, right? You got Aaron Brewer likely to be the guy at left guard as far as now is concerned, and it looks like Dylan Raidens is going to settle in there. How quickly do they have to get that set? And, no, more importantly, let's look at it this way.
Yeah.
They're finally getting the pads on. How much does things change as far as an evaluation standpoint for them?
I mean, they need it because they got to understand that this is a physical game, and they know that. And I think that it's not just about getting the pads on, which I agree with you 100%. It's about communicating with the whole offensive line. I mean, just like our center. You know, he has to communicate with the left guard, the right guard, and understand the fronts that are coming at him. So I think if they get familiar, Raiders gets familiar with that and feels confident, I think he can be successful. I remember last year when he played against the 49ers. I know he struggled a little bit. I know he did some good things. He did some bad things. But once he feel comfortable in the role that he's in, I think this offensive line can do something great, not just for the passing attack, but also the running attack for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that competition, you know, those are some things to really watch. Just, you know, you look at Nicholas Petit-Ferrar, who's going to be competing with Raiden.
Right.
Look at Jamarco Jones competing at left guard. Those are the battles. Now, I can't wait until the joint practices when you're going against the J.J. Watts, the Marcus Goldens, and then Vita Vey against the Bucks, and on the interior with Shaq Barrett coming off the edge. I mean, this is going to be really interesting watching that. The one mainstay, right, Taylor Lewan. What are your expectations from him? Like, what does he have to do to show that, you know, he is a guy that should be the cornerstone left tackle for the next couple of years?
But, you know, it's so wild. It's not about his athleticism. It's not that he's not tough or he can't play that position. I just think that if he eliminates all the distractions and focus strictly on football, I think he can be one of the best tackles in the league. I mean, he's big, he's physical, he's mean, he's got that toughness, but it's just the distractions. It's the, and I'm being respectful when I say this because each is their own. Get off Twitter. Get off Instagram. Get off all those things. He even admitted this week in his interviews that he's going to stay off, you know, Instagram. I know he's going to do his show busting with the boy. That's great and everything, but stay off that and focus on football. So if he can eliminate all those distractions, eliminate all the silliness, and strictly be the leader of that offensive line and be the leader of this whole team, come on, man. That's one of the pillars of this Tennessee Titans offense.
You've been there and done that. Does that stuff – well – social media wasn't out there, but you
still we had Atari.
Yeah, right. Does that stuff? And you used to send pigeons, messages through pigeons, right? Does that stuff, though, that off the field stuff, like, you know, read a newspaper and stuff, does that really affect a guy?
You know, it all depends on who it is. With me, you know, my focus was strictly on football. I'm not acting like I'm just walking around football, this football, that. No, you know, you just don't want it to be your main focus. And I think that when you start to lose focus, then your technique slips. You're focusing on, you know, you're not focusing on, you know, looking at film. Now you're focusing on your next tweet. So that's when it can be in trouble. But I think that with Taylor Lewan, I think he recognizes it this year. That, you know what? I have to be a leader. I have to be a professional. I'm not saying he's not a professional, but when you're a leader of your team, you can't just be a leader one day. You got to do it every single day. You got to be a leader in every facet of what you do. Why? Because everybody's looking at you. So if I'm a leader and I'm not performing, but I'm consistently on Instagram and I'm consistently on Twitter and I'm consistently on all these things and my play starts to fall, then you got to realize this is distraction and I got to let it go.
Good point. Good point there. Let me ask you this, right?
Yes.
You always mentioned, was it Dale Carter, right?
When
you
Dale Carter, about, yes.
Right. How tall was Dale Carter?
Dale Carter was maybe about 6'2", 6'2 and a half, 6'3". He's a big dude.
Okay. Footwork was extremely good.
Yes.
Length, speed.
Long, smart. Okay. Watch what your shoulders did. Technique, everything.
Okay, so you've gone against a pretty technically sound, athletic, long cornerback.
Yes.
I'm asking you that in regards to Caleb Farley, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, I watched a couple of his reps today. Very, very sticky. Robert Woods tried to change direction.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are both guys, you know, LCL and ACL and ACL, you know.
Right.
What is it that these longer, quicker, twitchy type of corners, what makes them so hard to go against?
They're hard because they're watching your shoulders and they're watching your release. They watch how you move. They study film. And when I went against Dale Carter, Les Tuckle, my receiver coach, was telling me, okay, this guy's good at what he does. Because what they play two-man. And when they play two-man, you know, he's following the you know, the number one wide receiver, which was me at that time. And as he was at the line of scrimmage, he watched your every move. He watched your shoulders. He watched your eyes. He watched your footwork, and he knew what you were going to do. So what I had to do is I went with Les Steckel. I said, Les Steckel, we got to come up with a game plan. And I said, what he does is he's long. So what he does, when you make that last move, he jams you with the quick jam. So this is what my coach said, Les Steckel. He said, you just got to make a move and go. And when you do things like this and you study your opponent and they're sticky, you got to find out their weakness. And when I found out his weakness, that if I just go and he can't catch up, that's what allowed me to beat him. But I'm telling you, man, when you get these corners that are sticky, they're long, they're physical, they're strong, you know, you got to figure out and find out their tendencies. What makes, do they have good footwork? Do they jam on your last move? What do they do? And you got to counteract what they do so you can win on the route.
What are your expectations for Caleb Farley? This is another guy, ACL. Of course, yeah. It was week three, but no brace, no yellow jersey.
Yeah.
He's out there moving. What are your expectations for him at cornerback?
Man, it's kind of like Tupac, me against the world, because he came in and everybody was talking about why would you pick him for the first pick when he's consistently hurt? Why would you pick him, you know, when he had a knee injury? Why would you pick him because he's always hurt? You don't think this guy's hearing all this stuff? You don't think this guy has an edge and want to prove that he can be one of the best cover corners in the league, especially with the way the Tennessee Titans play? Hey, with me, in my opinion, I think the expectations are high. And when I say high, I think he can be, this is just my opinion, I think he can be one of the top seven corners in the league. I mean, because everybody talked about him when he was in college. Before he got hurt, they said hands down he was the best corner in college football. So now we have injuries. Now we have the back injury. Now we have the knee. So now you don't think this guy's even meaner or even wants to prove that he can come out and show that he's the best cornerback in the league. He's gained some weight. You know, Mike Vrabel said he had a great offseason. You don't think this guy's going to come in and shut down the best corners? It's going to be awesome.
So what we're going to do, we're kind of bouncing around, but I wanted to get your take on Jeffrey Simmons. You know, he's out there taking part in team period. He was out there through individual. You know, he came off and said that he feels good at 309 pounds. He answered whatever you wanted to know about what he did during the offseason, his goals this year, everything like that. But when it came to the contract, he said, I'm not talking about the contract. How much do you think that could develop into a distraction, even though he's out there playing, practicing and doing everything?
I just think that they can't allow it to be a distraction. It's kind of like this. Just imagine if you're married to somebody. When you're in a marriage, you're in a partnership. That means that the wife's got to do their job and the husband's got to do their job. That's the role. If you look at what Jeffrey Simmons did today, he had every right to say, you know what, I'm coming to camp, but I'm just chilling on the sideline. But what he did is he did his part and participated in drills and did what he was supposed to. So now the Tennessee Titans have to do the exact same thing. They got to say, you know what, if Jeffrey Simmons is going to do his role, then we as an organization are going to do our role. So now they come together, do the contract. Now it never becomes a distraction. But now if it gets to the first and second game and all of a sudden they don't have a contract, then I think now then that's when it becomes a distraction.
Well, what do you think of some of the other guys there? Like with him being out there, how critical is it? Is there stuff that he could gain, you know, working with Bud Dupree, working with Harold Landry, working with DeNico Autry?
I mean, I think it'd be huge because if you look at last year, you know, they were one of the best defenses in the league, and he was a main pillar of what they did. And I agree with you, TD. I mean, you know, with him being out there, you keep the communication alive. You communicate with Autry. You communicate with Dupree. You communicate with Landry. You communicate with all those people on that defense, because if you're going to have a successful defense, you're going to have to be able to do those things. So with him being there, it just shows you that he cares. It just shows you that he's a professional, and it shows you that he wants to be a part of something great, and it's awesome to have him there.
Are there any players on the defense that you have expectations of that, you know, maybe higher than others?
You know what? You know what kid that I really, really love that gets a little bit of pub, but I don't think he gets a lot, is Amani Hooker. I mean, Amani Hooker is a dude, man. I mean, if you look at some of the games that You know, he was big in, I think it was Buffalo, he made a key interception. If you look at when they played against the Cincinnati Bengals were driving, he makes a key interception. He's just consistently around the ball. He's consistently coming up with the big play. So, you know, I know he's not getting a lot of pub, but I'm telling you, he is a gem that is consistently making plays, making tackles, blitzing at the right time, making, you know, key interceptions. So, you know, I know nobody's not talking about him, but I believe he can have a Pro Bowl season.
And that's another guy that is up for a contract. He and David Long Jr. So we'll see what happens there. I'm glad we're able to kind of bounce around the team. I know we focused on Burks, but we had to get some other stuff in there too. And I tell you what, you need to come on out to camp. I know you're at your own camp there, making things happen with Montgomery Bell, getting those guys ready. But yeah, man, you're going to have to come out here and check this team out. They'll be practicing on weekends.
Well, man, I'm going to check it out with you. But, man, last time I went to practice, man, I was standing next to you. And they saw me and you on TV, right? And so, and as I went to the gym the next day, they was like, man, who was you standing next to? He said, man, he looks like Billy Ocean or Lance Shelters. I said, yeah, that's Lance Shelters. Like, man, I knew it.
Oh, man, that's crazy because someone else said that you look like that guy that talk about, and you woo, woo, woo. Gregory Abbott. They thought you were Gregory Abbott. I said, no, that was just Chris Sanders.
Man, get off my phone, man. Appreciate you, Doc.
So that was your second dose of Run TMC. Shout out to Chris Sanders for coming on. Yeah, we went heavy Treylon Burks, but that's kind of like the biggest story coming out of camp so far. So it's only right that we do that. We did touch on some other points. So, again, appreciate Forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders for coming on. Appreciate David for making this thing happen.
Yes, sir.
He's our new producer. We're going to keep this thing rolling. And most of all, I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Be sure to check us out each and every week. Go to Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere that you get your quality podcast. We are right there. Search Talking with TD. Be sure to subscribe first. Rate, review. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.